Lynn Thompson with CAM Skipper.
Thank you, Lynn, and I appreciate you calling me to be your first funeral director.
You've been incredibly helpful with deaths in our family over the last number of years, so thank you for that.
Thank you. I appreciate that because your father and I, as you well know, got to be good friends when he made the prearrangements for himself and then your mother.
When Dad died last fall, we were able to visit him easily in the hospital and in the care home, and over 100 of us got together for a celebration of life. What a luxury that seems like now.
It certainly is, and like many other types of businesses, we're being limited on what we can do and what we can't do as far as numbers of people, and the same at the cemeteries. I just feel so bad for families that have lost someone in general, but definitely during the COVID situation with trying to have services that are meaningful for families and people, it's been a real challenge. So are people going to do something different? Are we going to start using more outside facilities to have funerals and more graveside services?
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's going to be a lot of changes in how we memorialize people from this point forward. You know, I've been doing this for a very long time, 40 years. I'm pretty good at reading people, and sometimes you can see that there's a question that they're maybe afraid to ask. If it's the first time they've ever arranged a funeral, there's a lot that they don't know to ask. We're missing a lot of that with the lack of social content. I'm a fairly outgoing person and shake hands and hug people and that sort of thing, and of course there's none of that. I think the bottom line is treat people exactly the way you want to be treated. People put off talking about funerals like that's just human nature. They don't want to talk about someone's death, whether it's a parent or anyone in the family. And so it's difficult for people to come in and talk about these things, whether it's an at-need situation or a pre-arranged situation, and be that person that they feel comfortable talking to and asking questions. And I don't feel there are any stupid questions in the funeral service world because so few people are familiar with it. They don't know the questions to ask, or they don't know some of the situations, or, you know, the documentation and simple thing like a proof of death, for example. We're responsible for providing families with those documents. Well, most people don't know that.
Your father owned a funeral home.
Yeah, that's correct. We lived above it in the apartment, and you could still see downstairs, like it wasn't closed off. I would sit upstairs and watch and listen to people coming in, and I remember going to grade one, not realizing that I was the only funeral director's son in the whole school, and I was the only person in the class that had dead people in my house.
Right.
That was my normal. One of the things that my dad was very good at was listening, which I think is a trait that I've inherited. And also just being yourself. You know, there's that stereotypical funeral director that a lot of people think of when they have to deal with a funeral home. And I've been told on numerous occasions that I do not fit that mold. I worked at a funeral home in Kitchener for 5 years. And then when I started here in 85, of course, growing up in Guelph, I knew a lot of the people coming through the door. You know, I went to kindergarten with them. So in those days, I was dealing with their grandparents. And now I'm having services for their parents.
The whole idea of prearranging is that you're taking care of a lot of those details so that you're aware of it before you're in the middle of the emotion as well.
Exactly.
I wondered if there's a question that surprised you.
People think that the person that has died gets delivered to the funeral home by some source where it's us that go to the hospital or nursing home. You know, a person dies, for example, at the hospital. It's very, very important to families to know that we have made the transfer. Your mother's body is here at the funeral home now, or we can't go to the hospital yet because we're waiting for the doctor to fill out the medical certificate of death, for example, or the documentation at the hospital. And as soon as that is complete, we can make the transfer.
Mm-hmm.
But just keeping the family in the loop on what's going on.
And then there's the whole thing of whether there is a will and if the wishes are known and whether there's going to be a traditional burial or a cremation.
You're exactly right, because there's so many different options and types of procedures that can happen or don't have to happen. And I don't think there's a definition of a traditional service anymore.
Right.
You know, at one time you could say, you know, we would have 2 days of visitation and then a service at the funeral home or at a church, and then the person would be buried. Well, that's just not the case anymore.
What are some of the things that people don't know to ask?
The vital statistic information that we need to fill out some forms. So just explaining, you know, some of the simple procedures can go a long way. Two things to educate people on what is needed and what's going to be asked, and the options that are available to them as well, but also take away some of that anxiety about not knowing what we're going to have to do or decide. When people are educated on what is going to be necessary and what some of the options are and some of the choices that they can make, it gives them some time to think about it ahead.
I'm sure that you have had the experience of all kinds of different situations where people are very prepared and not prepared at all.
Absolutely right. I've seen both ends of the scale there.
It's just hearing about people becoming ill quickly with COVID and many recovering and many dying quite quickly and unexpectedly, and wondering, besides not being able to have normal arrangements with a funeral home or a service, do these people even have wills? Were they even prepared? All of us are going to die. We don't know when. That's part of the preciousness of life and valuing it while we're here.
I don't want people to make snap decisions on their person's funeral service, because you only get one chance at it. You want to make sure the services that we're trying to organize and help them with are going to be beneficial from an emotional standpoint and put them on a good footing towards their grief journey as well.
Because a will is not looked at right away, it's important to have documents that are with the will that will be read right away, right?
Correct.
But when do we hear about that? How would people know that?
Well, and that goes back to having that difficult conversation with family members and saying, you know, this is what I've got in mind and these are the wishes that I would like from a funeral standpoint.
Now it's becoming more normal to scatter the ashes in one or more places.
One of the things that I say to people when they tell me they want to scatter cremated remains, make sure that you're comfortable with that decision, because once you scatter cremated remains, that's final. Like, you know, you can go back to the place, but is that the same as seeing a name on a headstone or that family connection? For some people, it's fine. And other people, they need that place to go, like a cemetery. And
when there's a headstone in a cemetery, there's a place with a name, and that can be tracked for family history. And so otherwise, where's the record and how does that get marked in the history books?
You're absolutely right. It really doesn't, because without the use of a cemetery where everything has been recorded, and, you know, a lot of people use us and cemeteries for searching out their family trees, and we get calls frequently about funerals we did back in the 30s type of thing.
Oh, wow.
There's several options with cremated remains at cemeteries. Most of them will have what's referred to as niches or little cubicles. Some of those are off the ground, indoor too. Typically, there's room for two cremated remains in a niche, and most cemeteries will allow you to bury cremated remains on an existing grave.
I see. That's very interesting, because I would like to be cremated, I think. I've never liked the idea of disintegrating, let's put it, in a box one way or another. We're out of here. And I really like visiting where my grandparents are buried. I'm thinking that that would be kind of cool to have a combo, you know, and contact that cemetery and see if they'd be willing to accommodate.
This could be a family plot again. You know, typically I'd spend 2 hours making arrangements with families. When you sit down with people, some of those conversations like you and I just had would come up.
As a funeral home director, you also are involved with the will in terms of wishes, like you deal with the executor with that part?
Yes, we would deal with the executor, but most lawyers today don't put any information about funeral services or choices in a will, for the simple fact is often it doesn't get read for days or weeks after the person's death. We do get involved with the will to a degree. If there is a will, I'm obligated to take direction from the executor. So sometimes it's a factor of trying to determine who the executor is. Family members that have no idea if there is a will or where it is, you need to have these conversations with these people, because they shouldn't be surprised to find out that they're the executor.
What if I made arrangements with a funeral home here, but then by the time that all is happening, I'm far away from this funeral home? How does that work?
Most funeral arrangements or pre-arrangements could be transferred to any funeral home in North America, for that matter.
Oh, okay.
You know, and just to reiterate about having a will and keeping it current and having a substitute decision maker. You know, you never know. It may not be a death situation. It may just be where you're taken to a hospital emergency and somebody needs to speak for you. Who is that person? And
well, is a substitute decision maker different than a power of attorney?
It can be, yes.
Cam, I think that if there's any questions that haven't been answered, it's just all the more reason to have a conversation, right?
You know, we've had phone calls about, can I do this? Can I do that? I encourage them to phone the funeral homes or the cemeteries and get the options that are available to them and get the questions answered that they're unsure about, and do it ahead of time so that they're comfortable in their decisions and they're not making snap decisions at the worst time possible.
And again, having the conversations with the key people and that you would like to be involved so that they're not thrown all this information at the last minute or at a time when they're already overwhelmed with what's going on.
Exactly. And I feel for people that are making decisions without the benefit of any information or any discussions ahead of time, and we do only have one chance at this. So.
And it's the culmination of a life. It's your final opportunity to have artistic expression. I still have more to do to be ready to help somebody help me, including a simple list of people to contact if I'm not able to, and list of passwords and subscriptions, memberships, and things that make it so much easier when you're not able to take care of things yourself.
And it might be something as simple as music they want played. Some people, you know, when you talk to them about music, they say, oh, well, whatever's fine. Or other people are very specific about pieces of music that they would like to have.
Yeah, like you.
Yeah.
I've started a list and there's always more being added to it. Thank you.
Well, I appreciate the time you took to talk to me. We've covered a lot of things.